This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker, and in the studio to talk more about small farms producing food grown and generally consumed in central Illinois is Bill Davison. As the local food systems and small farms educator with the University of Illinois Extension, Davison works with hundreds of small organic farms in Illinois and the Midwest. Bill, thanks for stopping by Sound Ideas.
You're welcome.
When you last appeared on Sound Ideas, you talked about increased competition facing these small farms and their produce, especially as it concerned a decline in CSAs, or community-supported agriculture, where people sort of subscribe to and pick up food every week from a farm. Is now a good time to jump in, like Katie and Jonathan Funk and Jeff Hake and Heritage Fruits and Grains southwest of Bloomington?
Well, it's a good time if you're careful and thoughtful about how you approach it. But part of what we're doing is trying to help farmers grow staple crops as a local food source. So things like grains, corn, beans, wheat, other small grains, so they can create a profit center that isn't quite as labor intensive as fruits and vegetables.
What are these folks asking you, and what kind of help are you and the U of I able to provide?
Well, we get a wide range of questions, and we offer programming on a variety of topics from gardening on up through commercial production. So we get a lot of questions about the corn and soybean side of farming, and also fruits and vegetables and the specialty crops that I tend to work with.
Who succeeds and who fails typically?
Well, most fail, as in most small businesses in general. People that succeed tend to have a good business sense. That's the hardest part about farming, is running a profitable business. So actually growing food is not that difficult, especially around here. So the larger challenges center on competing in a competitive marketplace where you're trying to sell your products and capture value. But it is a difficult thing to do. There tends to be a window of 3 to 5 years where young people enter into it with great idealism and enthusiasm. And 3 to 5 years in, they either, you know, turn the corner and start to generate profits, or they decide to pursue something else.
What do they have to be prepared for to make it a success? Mentally first.
They've got to be really determined. So you just have to persevere and deal with challenges as they come up, and not accept defeat, basically. And you have to always be looking for the next opportunity, the way to differentiate yourself, the way to build relationships with buyers, and to become more efficient every year and over time in general, so that you can generate more of a profit.
When do these farmers reach out to you, or when do you contact them, and what's the conversation like?
Well, it tends to be divided between the growing season and the winter. So we get a lot of requests for information over the winter as farmers are conducting research and thinking through, you know, what the upcoming season holds for them. So that's one class of communication. And then we host field days and tours and workshops during the growing season. So that's another time that farmers reach out, and they get to visit other farms, see what other people are doing, and try to learn in that way.
How important is it that they already have a solid base with traditional grain farming or the syrup business in this case, and why?
Well, that can be really beneficial. And so a lot of what we're seeing are people like Jonathan Funk and Katie and Jeff, where there is an existing farm family. They have a base of land that they're working with, and they have some ability to experiment, to try things at a small scale, which is what we recommend. So taking 10, 20 to 40 acres, trying new crops, seeing what works, seeing what you like to grow, and learn how to handle it, and then develop relationships that allow you to market it. If young people can do that, they can find niches in the marketplace where they make a higher margin on a crop.
Let's talk a little bit more about the farmers. You mentioned idealism as a motivation for getting in. What else are you hearing about why they got into this aspect of farming, and then what keeps them in?
Typically, it's a love of food and farming and being outside and being independent. It has a lot of benefits in those areas. The problem is the people that tend to approach it from that perspective often don't have a business background, which is not necessarily detrimental, but they need to work with someone that does. And so that's part of what we try to do is connect people that have the right skill sets, because ideally there's a high functioning team of people behind every farm that addresses every skill that they need to have to compete.
So are they listening to you? Do they put that in place? And if they do, then why might they still get out?
Well, yeah, some people listen to me, some don't. It takes time. Sometimes we talk, and a year later, you know, they make a change, something happens. And so it is a gradual process. But we've made tremendous progress over the past 5 years I've been at this job. We now have a functional flour mill selling flour into Chicago, St. Louis, Indianapolis, here, other places in central Illinois. We're growing bread wheat, which they said we couldn't do when we started. But we've added a lot of diversity to the system. We're making it easier for farmers. We're getting grants at University of Illinois to breed new crops. And so it's getting better every year. And the kind of conversations we have are getting better every year because we're breaking through some longstanding barriers and having more productive conversations.
About demographics, who are these people? Younger, older, men, women?
Well, that's pretty easy. They're older. Mostly men, more women, though, as time goes by. I recently met with a farmer in Mason County who was in his 70s. He grows popcorn, dent corn, soybeans, occasionally peas and green beans, if Del Monte asks for them. But he told me that according to USDA data, there are about 10 farmers in Mason County that are below 30, which raises the question, who's going to grow our food in the relatively near future?
How often does a restaurant or shop, in the case of heritage fruits and grains associated with a farm, how often does that happen?
Well, I think it's becoming increasingly common. You know, we have a model here with Epiphany Farms, and they are doing an amazing work in that area. Heritage Fruits and Grains has mentioned their interest in pursuing that. So it can work, and they have an established business, which I think can help them in that regard. But restaurants and farming are two difficult endeavors, so it takes people with the right skills to combine those and succeed.
Even though one creates a ready-made market for the other.
They do, but they're both based on cheap food and thin margins.
Don't try this unless you're really sharp. What leads to the demise of the ones that aren't successful?
So for the farms that start out small and try to succeed, oftentimes they are limited by marketing. So the typical scenario is you try to go to a farmer's market. Maybe you have a CSA. Maybe you're like me and you try to drive to Chicago to sell there. Those are very difficult ways to market food. You're restricting yourself to about 1% or less of the population, and it's the most intensive approach. But once you commit to that, you don't have a lot of time left over to figure out an alternative. So that tends to be one of the bigger challenges, is the lack of viable commercial scale markets, which is what I spend a lot of my time trying to develop, and which is why we're moving to staple crops for a lot of our work. And building a more cooperative, local system and building up infrastructure. So it's easier for farmers. So not every farmer has to do all of the work of handling, processing, adding value to products. So we have more sharing now, more cooperative work, and we have farmers integrating crops that are a little easier to grow.
What's on the horizon, more or less of these farms?
What we're working towards over the longer term is agroforestry or agroecology-based farms that are fully diversified and integrated, which is the real solution to creating a better food system and a resilient form of agriculture. So farms like Prairie Earth, where we have livestock integrated with grains, fruits, and vegetables. We have a project called the Middle Mackinac Project, and we're working to develop this along the Mackinac River north of town here. We have grant funding. We have lots of partner organizations, so we're setting out to show that agriculture and conservation can be mutually beneficial.
Bill, thanks for your time on Sound Ideas.
You're welcome.
Bill Davison is the local food systems and small farms educator with the University of Illinois Extension. I'm Charlie Schlenker.
After a break, a closer look at the first year of the Bloomington Public Safety and Community Relations Board. This is Sound Ideas.